I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. With God, nothing's too difficult, nothing's too hard, nothing's impossible, and the scripture says nothing's impossible to those that believe. One occasion when that man brought his son to the disciples and Jesus, and he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Mark 9. And the Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So whatever you're dealing with today, tonight, wherever you are, it is not impossible to God. It could be impossible to men. You may not have any idea how you could change it or fix it. But with God, nothing's impossible. And a miracle can begin at the moment you look up from where you are and say, God, I believe you can do something. I believe it's possible. Hallelujah. So everybody said out loud, God,
I believe it's possible
to have a victory
in my life today.
Nothing's too hard for you. And I do believe. Father, all of us agree together as touching this thing, rejoicing that you are the mighty God, the almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. What's too hard for you? You've done it all. And we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We are yours. You've created us. And we seek your face to know and experience your will. Reveal to us yourself, who you are, what you are, your will and plan for us. And help us to make known to us the devices and deceit of the enemy, that we not be fooled and tricked or trapped. And we thank you, Lord, your truth that we receive and walk in, it does make us free. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you look again, please, in Psalm 23. We began earlier this week talking about faith for provision. And I'm excited about this because looking back 40 plus years ago, this truth changed my wife Phyllis and myself life. Prior to that, she had gone to church as a young girl in one particular denomination. I had gone to church in a different one. And so we heard about God, but it wasn't real to us that God wanted us to have some material things. That was actually preached against in many ways. But when we heard somebody preaching the Word, the Scripture, that God's a good God, that He wants you to have everything you need, and even some things you don't need, but just nice things to enjoy, could that be true? Is it real? Is it true? And so over a period of months, we continued to hear that word until we became convinced. We thought, yeah, God wants us to have something. It changed our life. And the reason we got this studio, the reason this broadcast exists, the reason the church and the ministries and all the tools and all that comes back to that foundational belief, God is my provider. Yes. Hallelujah. And there's no good thing will he withhold from us. And there's no want or lack to those that reverence him and follow him. Now you may be right where we were 40 years ago, thinking, really? Really? Because I've always heard, you know, avoid all that materialism. And I'm not talking about materialism. And money and things have never been the problem. Religion has made it the problem. It's the love of money. That's the problem. It's covetousness, which is idolatry. That's the issue. And that is wrong. And that is a problem. And it's a big problem all through the earth. But people have fixated on that and missed this great, great truth that God is a good father who takes care of his family, if you'll let him. And he is a good shepherd who takes good care of his flock. We looked at that earlier. I want to look at it again. Psalm 23. The very first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That word could also be translated lack. I shall not lack. Everybody said out loud, "The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want."
I shall not
want. Whose shepherd?
The
Lord, the one and only, is my shepherd. Listen to some other translations of this. The Young's literal translation says, "Jehovah is my shepherd. I do not lack." The NIV says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." Is this Bible?
Yes.
Is this true?
Yes.
The NIV says, today's NIV says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." You know, a lot of people would argue with this if they didn't realize we're reading it straight out of the Bible.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
Well, yeah, we always experience some lack sometimes, Brother Keith, you know, and we don't know what God's purposes are in all these things. No, see, that's human reasoning. That's not Scripture. That's not Scripture. Yeah, we have experienced some lack, but was it the will of God? Was it pleasing to God? Was it the plan of God? Like we said earlier, you know, Peter says, God's not willing that any should perish. But are there a lot of people going to perish? Yeah. Somebody says, well, how can that be if it's his will? Because he's not controlling us. He's not controlling our decisions. He's not forcing us to believe him or accept anything from him or listen to him or follow him. And if you won't listen to him, you don't get his will. If you rebel against him and go contrary to him, then you have a lot of things happen in your life that was never the plan of God. And it's not pleasing to him. And at some point we're going to get into this, but he taught his people Israel when he delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, that if they'd listen to him, there'd be blessing. Hallelujah. And a whole, you know, verse after verse after verse after verse, you'll be blessed, you'll be blessed, you'll be blessed when you go out, when you come in, over and over. But if you won't listen to me, if you reject me, if you replace me with other gods, you'll be cursed. Cursed in this, cursed in that, cursed in the other. Well, does God want us blessed or cursed?
Blessed.
Which one? Now you'll have some people say, well, I know it's kind of a curse, but it's really a blessing in disguise. Then we're hopelessly confused, right? You mean I can obey God, but I might wind up with a curse, which is really a blessing in disguise, but I may not know it this side of heaven. Well, then how do I know if I'm doing good or not? Right? And am I cursed because I obeyed? Can you see what I'm saying? No, this is men's messed up thinking. And actually, some of these things are doctrines of demons. They came from the pit. I'm quoting, that's a New Testament phrase. Doctrines of demons. And doctrines of demons are not only taught in Satanist churches. They come across the pulpits of Christian churches. Someone says, well, how can I know what's what? Get you a Bible. Get you a Bible. And put your nose in this book. Right? On a daily basis, because it is your life. Whether you're fooled or whether you're not. Whether you're deceived and misled or whether you're not, comes back to this. When Jesus was subjected to the most intense temptation, 40 days, 40 nights, he's operating and functioning as a man, as a human being. How did he deal with it? How did he overcome? How did he know what to accept and what not to accept? What to believe and what not to believe? What to yield to and what to reject and resist? How did he know? How did he know? Every point. What did he say? It is written. Not I hope so. Not they preach down at the synagogue. No, it is written. Certain. Sure. No question about it. No ambivalence about it. It is written. This is right. So what you're saying can't be right. Either or. Truth, lie. Good, evil. Not this convoluted blessing in disguise. No, no, no. You got right, you got wrong. You got good, you got evil. You got truth, you got lies. You got God and the devil, the enemy. No, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. What? I lack nothing. That one said, Holman says, the Lord's my shepherd, there's nothing I lack. Is that a confession I can put in my mouth?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is he still the Lord our shepherd?
Yes.
Has he changed?
No.
Has he changed what he wants?
No.
No. So everybody said out loud, the Lord's my shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd.
I lack nothing.
I lack nothing.
The Lord's my good shepherd.
The Lord's my good shepherd.
There's nothing I lack. The BBE says it like this. The Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's not Brother Keith waving his hands and getting excited. This is Bible. This is, it is written. How many of the 23rd Psalm was around a long time before I came along? Huh? Or you came along? And it was right then, and it's right now, and it's right in every generation. And no matter how far this thing goes, it'll always be right. And God never changes. He was the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He will always be the good shepherd. And you know what the good shepherd does? He takes care of his sheep. The Lord takes care of me. The God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. Whew. Do you like that or not? God's Word translation says, the Lord's my shepherd. I am never in need. Is that a wrong translation? How different is it from I shall not want? It's the same. I shall not want. I am never in need. The easy to read translation says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Somebody said, well, that sounds like those prosperity preachers talking about never having any lack. Was David a prosperity preacher? King David? The psalmist David? Or is the Holy Spirit a prosperity preacher?
Yes.
Or is God a teller of good news about prosperity and abundance? No, it is written, the Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. The Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. We ought to get this in our mouth. We ought to say it on a regular basis, especially when things come up and you don't know where the money's going to come from, or you don't know how you're going to pay this right away. It ought to just be, you ought to be so full of it that it just comes right out of your mouth and go, I'm never in want. I always have everything I need. And it's not because I'm so smart and pretty. It's because I belong to somebody. Is that right? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He is my good shepherd. And the reason I always have everything I need is because he's the best shepherd there's ever been. And I'm his sheep. Right? You know, as a way of worldly speaking, I won the sheep lottery. Is that right? Why? I'm his sheep. I got the best shepherd in the universe. Is that right? If he's a good shepherd, then that means the sheep are going to be well taken care of. Now, is this something that's foreign to the New Testament? Or don't we hear about the shepherd in the New Testament as well? Go to John 10. John 10. Much about this in this 10th chapter of John. Jesus talking about being the shepherd and applying it directly to himself. John 10, verse 10. Jesus said, the thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, to hear even a lot of preachers preach, you would think there is no devil because you never hear anything about him. Now, I'm not an advocate of talking too much about the devil, but you do need to know where bad stuff comes from. And you certainly should not attribute the works of the enemy to God, our good God. According to Jesus, how many think Jesus is right and knows what he's talking about here? According to the head of the church, if it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's destroying, is it coming from God? Is it coming from your good father? Is it coming from the good shepherd? He said it's coming from the thief. You certainly wouldn't call the father the thief. You wouldn't call Jesus the thief. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the one called Satan, the one called the adversary, the one called the devil. The Bible said the devil, as a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour and destroy. And Jesus said the thief, he doesn't come unless he's coming to do that. The devil cannot bless you. He has no blessing. He has no goodness. When he comes, even though he lies to you about doing something for you, it's a setup to steal something from you, to rob you. Stealing, killing, destroying. Now, why talk about this? Because you've got Christians, church-going people, and preachers, that when people have something stolen from them, let's say a storm came through, destroyed your house, killed your livestock, your pets, a child, whatever. And you'll hear people say, well, we don't understand, you know, God's ways are mysterious. You're calling this killing and destruction God's ways? God sent the storm to kill your relative? To destroy your house that you worked years to get? No. If it stole something from you, it's bad. It's not a blessing in disguise. And it never will be. Somebody said, well, you said that yesterday. Yeah, and I'm going to say it again. You're going to hear me say it again. Why? Because this religious junk is ingrained in people. Church-going people, generation after generation after generation, so long now until people don't even realize. They heard it in church. They sang songs about it. I don't want any of this old world's goods. I do. I'll take yours. I know what to do with it. I don't have to spend it all on myself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? In this world, you need some stuff. And it's God's will. The Bible said, He knows you have need of all these things. And that's Matthew 6. He was talking about what you eat and what you drink and what you wear. The Bible said God knows you need them. Didn't say you don't need them. He said you do. You do need them. And a shepherd who cares about the sheep is going to see to it that the sheep have what they need. Let me read this to you from the Amplified, John 10, verse 9. John 10, 9 Amplified, Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved. And he'll come in and he'll go out freely and find pasture. Hallelujah. If you're a sheep, you are much interested in pasture. Is that right? I mean, every day of your life, you got pasture on the brain. Right? You enjoy you some good pasture. Well, a good shepherd is going to lead the sheep to a good pasture. Not to some dried up, shriveled up, no nutrition, bleak subsistence, but green pastures, still waters, cup running over provision. Can you say amen? Verse 10 Amplified, he said, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came. Can you see the Lord's drawing a sharp contrast, isn't he? Between what the thief is doing and what he's doing. No, you should not attribute everything to God. No, you must not imagine that every bad thing that happened to you, well, God must have had some reason or some purpose in it. No, no, a lot of things are happening that are absolutely not God's will, that don't please Him. Somebody says, well, I thought God was in control of everything. Is God controlling you? Everything you say, everything you do, all your decisions? No, He is not. He is not. The problem is He's given man a free will, and man has chosen, by and large, most of the people on the planet have chosen to reject Him, not even believe in Him, not even follow Him. And because of that, the curse is running rampant throughout the earth, and the wages of sin is death. And because so many people are yielding to the enemy and all his wrong spirits, then you got manifestations of stealing and killing and destruction everywhere. And it's not God's will. We're going to see, we're going to get to some of these points later on. But when God fixes everything, you won't have this anymore. All this stealing, killing, and destroying. When the enemy is removed from human contact, somebody say hallelujah. When the enemy is removed from human contact and locked away, then there won't be all this stealing, killing, and destroying. But he goes on to say, I came. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reason I read the Amplified, if you look up those words, the word for abundance, it means more than enough. It means surplusage is a word that's used. Well, isn't that what this describes? Having in abundance to the full, and then doesn't stop there, till it overflows. You know what that sounds exactly like? Psalm 23. Is that right? My cup runneth over. That doesn't come from the enemy. That comes from your good shepherd. That comes from your good shepherd. Where does the stealing, killing, and destroying come from? Not your good shepherd. The enemy. Can you see even that language in Peter, where he talks about the enemy as a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he may devour? Well, see, that's portrayed as a predator. lions and wolves and bears were particularly the shepherd's scourge. He's always on the watch, right? For a lion or for a bear. Why? Because they come to steal. Come to steal of the flock. Come to kill of the flock. Come to devour and destroy of the flock. But is that the good shepherd's will? That the devourer destroy? You know, does he stand back and go, well, it is the mysterious plan of God. You know, get you another one if you want to. No. No. Never is the stealing, killing, and destroying the work of God. Never is it the will of God. One of the ways that you prosper is that the stealing stops. Huh? Yeah, that's right. A lot of times the reason people are in such bad shape financially, they get ahead a little bit and then something bad happens and they lose this and lose that and then they're trying to recover. They're always trying to overcome some kind of loss. But if you're protected and you're kept, then instead of trying to always recover from some loss, you're accumulating. You're building on what you've been able to keep. Hallelujah. And that's all the more that you can give and help others with and do more for the kingdom with. Is it the will of God,
yes,
class? Is it always God's will,
yes,
for all of us to have abundant provision?
Yes.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Don't you? Let me read it to you one more time. The Lord's my shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord takes care of me, I will not be without any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. It is written. It is written. I mean, who doesn't agree with the 23rd Psalm? What genuine church-going man or woman don't like the 23rd Psalm? Well, then you better get happy about having all your needs met. You better get stirred up and excited about never having to live in want and lack. Well, our time's up again today. Say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world. And the enemy and all of his junk. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. Let me hear it again. I am
strong.
One more time. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll see you again next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.